My name is Phil Golding, and this is 5 Steps to Freedom. This episode, entitled Take Charge of Your Life with the Power of Acceptance, is the first of a new series of podcasts based on the 5-step process for healing, wisdom and empowerment, using the concepts and guidance I've described in my book, 5 Steps to Freedom, The Path to Inner Harmony and Personal Growth, which you can buy at any online Amazon store or directly from me through my website if you live in Australia, or personally if you live in Brisbane. To get an overview of the 5-step process for emotional healing, wisdom and empowerment, which is the basis of my work as a psychotherapist and self-awareness meditation mindfulness coach or teacher, listen to my podcasts, The 5-step Process for Healing, Wisdom and Empowerment Part 1 or Part 2, which I have produced for this purpose, or go to my website. So let's get on with this podcast. Take charge of your life with the power of acceptance. To begin with, I'm going to address a very important question. Who is in charge of your mind and therefore your life? All too often, we find ourselves thinking and acting in ways that we wish we didn't. Why do we find ourselves thinking and acting in these ways that we know are not good for us in the long term? When learning meditation, for example, in the process of trying to still our minds and find some peace, we discover that our minds are mostly beyond our control in that moment. Why is that? As human beings, we have the capacity for conscious awareness that gives us our dynamic creative power, the power to take conscious charge of our lives, like a wise parent looking after a child that is our mind. But the full potential of this power lies mostly dormant until we deliberately wake it up. So what keeps this power of conscious awareness dormant, and how do we wake it up? We operate on different frequencies, or to put it another way, different levels of consciousness, depending on our state of consciousness at any given point of time. Our state of consciousness has a lot to do with whether we are operating, thinking, feeling, acting, in other words, from fear and insecurity, or from a state of acceptance, oneness, and connectedness. In other words, we are operating from ego or a genuine state of conscious awareness. The question, who is in charge of your mind, also implies that you are more than your mind. It implies that there is a dimension of your being that is higher than your mind, that can encapsulate your mind as its manager and guardian. This is the level, aspect, or dimension of ourselves that we actually need to have in the driver's seat of our lives. This is conscious awareness, or consciousness that has become aware of itself as a dynamic power independent of the mind. Another very important question is, what is the ego? And why does the poor old ego get such a bad rap? Ego can be regarded as our potential of consciousness, but it is not yet dynamically aware. The ego is trying to be the manager of the mind, but is limited by the mind. This is because ego is largely captured by serving our mind's conditioning, beliefs, and programs, and primal instinctual reactions, all of which are often below our level of consciousness. This is problematic because much of our conditioning was created when we were children, particularly social conditioning. Therefore, much of our operating system was created before we were 10 years old, which means we have our child self running our life much of the time. Important personal skills such as self-reflection are hard for the ego because it struggles to get above the mind and observe the mind from a detached perspective, because it is not able to identify itself beyond the mind's blind habitual conditioning. To be able to observe ourselves objectively from a higher, more aware perspective is essential for self-reflection, insight, and personal growth. Optimally, our conditioned mind needs to be serving our conscious awareness, not the other way around. We need the mind for its conditioning so that we, as conscious awareness, can get on with managing our everyday lives without having to think about all those things we want to be able to do automatically, like reading, writing, walking, talking, etc. As conscious awareness, we are like the computer operator. The mind is like the computer programs, and the body and its brain is the computer. Unfortunately, a lot of our conditioning or programming is not very well programmed and is more of a hindrance than a help, so much so that our capacity of consciousness gets stuck within the limitations of our more survival-orientated mind. Our access to the full potential of our human personality and the power of our consciousness can be severely restricted. Our capacity for consciousness remains the servant of the mind and limited to being mere ego. The poorly programmed computer is controlling the computer operator. Due to its limited perspective, the ego also finds it hard to see the bigger picture, so it often lacks personal skills such as balance, inclusiveness, and open-mindedness. The ego can't see outside the box of the mind's limited conditioning. Often, we are able to operate on a high level in one area, such as business, but lack awareness and functionality in areas such as empathy and therefore relationships. It depends on how our conditioning is structured and also the nature of our innate personality. As a result, the ego's approach to life depends to keep us stuck in negative, self-defeating life patterns. In other words, the ego is not what you want to have in the driver's seat of your life. What keeps our consciousness stuck in this ego dimension is a lack of self-knowledge, along with our unconscious fears and insecurities, and our ego defenses that try to hide our vulnerabilities from the world around us and even from ourselves. So let's look more deeply at this ego dilemma. To awaken our consciousness out of its ego slumber, we must be willing and able to look squarely at ourselves and then know what to do with what we find. To lift the lid of our own vulnerabilities can be like opening up Pandora's box. All too often, when we try to face ourselves or are made to face ourselves, we are pushed back by our own self-rejection-driven emotional pain and our unconscious ego defenses that try to push that emotional pain back down. While growing up, our fight-or-flight instincts have formed protective layers around our emotional wounds to try to protect our then young, vulnerable consciousness from this pain. And now, like we are still the vulnerable, powerless child we once were, It is essential that we do open these old emotional wounds, however, because our fears and insecurities contain trapped parts of our greater potential that we must set free if we want to become the person who we know deep down we can be. So that scary, fire-breathing dragon that is waiting for us in the dungeons of our mind when we do try to open up our vulnerabilities is our various and often complex layers of self-rejection, buried so deep that we struggle to recognize it for what it is. This is ultimately what causes our emotional pain, not what is happening to us in the outside world now. The impacts from the world on our mind now, they are the triggers that reawaken this pain. But they are really now the cause, our own confusion that makes us reject ourselves is the real cause of our pain. But this is not easy to recognize at first. We are likely to have grown up in a world where those who were supposed to be guiding us did not know how to take responsibility for their minds, for what they thought and therefore felt, said and did, in other words. As a result, we were held responsible for their self-created emotional pain, and we were judged and blamed for being human in the process. We learned to judge and blame ourselves, but we also learned to judge and blame others and the world around us, and deny our vulnerabilities due to feeling unworthy for being human. It all gets very confusing, doesn't it? Our ego was trying to create self-worth out of the poor materials that our conditioning gave us, the same as our carers were doing. For awareness, this is an important thing to grasp. This is the dilemma of being human. It is hard because our ego, believing it is unworthy when we emotionally react, when we are being human, that it desperately wants to deny that we are the cause. It wants to see ourselves being the victim of something outside ourselves. Therefore, to the degree that we grow up in an environment where love is conditional, is the degree that our conditioning will be based on self-rejection, and the degree it will have fears and insecurities to contend with. This self-rejection, buried underneath confusion and denied by our defensive ego, then pulls down and restricts our frequency or consciousness like a heavy weight, like a heavy fog. This, in turn, leaves our self-worth vulnerable to further impacts from ongoing inevitable life challenges. To try to compensate, we become even more emotionally dependent on the world around us and less on our own self-esteem, self-worth foundation. We are building our house, our worth, on shifting sand, on impermanent things outside of ourself, such as relationships, job, identity, money, etc. All this is impermanent. None of this is anything we really have control over. Negative self-talk, self-destructive behavior, relationship breakdown on all levels, such as personal, community, business, international, and out-of-control materialism, are just some examples of the consequences of the ego's misplaced attachments, defenses, and confusions. That fire-breathing dragon that we so desperately avoided is just ourselves as a small, defenseless child, a rejected and shamed teenager, or a vulnerable and disempowered young adult, surrounded by our primal defenses designed to enable us to psychologically survive, but only in the short term, like a scar that is formed around our heart. However, just because we survived, it does not mean that our psychological wounds have really healed. That is the job of our own conscious adult self, ourselves as conscious awareness, which can transcend the unaware conditioned mind. So how to awaken your ego's real potential of conscious awareness, which is perhaps one of the unlimited psychological or philosophical questions? The key to transforming the ego into awareness is acceptance, and here I am specifically talking about self-acceptance. This may seem too simple, but it is essential to comprehend the true depth of acceptance, where it comes from, and the essential role that it plays. Acceptance is a quality of unconditional love, the ultimate force of healing and awareness. Self-rejection is the opposite of self-acceptance. Self-rejection is the product of coming to believe that we are somehow not good enough being a human being. This requires a lot of thinking about and feeling into. We are all born into this world a helpless, powerless infant, ready to be molded by our immediate environment. While in this body, on this planet, we have no choice but to be a vulnerable, fallible human being. If we believe we are wrong for being human, then we are trapped in an impossible psychological dilemma. Virtually all of our suffering is rooted in this misbelief about our worth. When we were infants, children, teenagers, young adults, we did the best we could within the environment we were given and the awareness that we had possession of at any given time. We could not avoid getting confused, making mistakes, being hurt and hurting others. We got confused when we thought we had to live up to some arbitrary standard in order to be worthy. Worthy of what? Unconditional love, of course. The little child within us instinctually craved for this lifeblood of love, but due to not receiving it so often gave up believing it was real. But this need for connection never really dies. In reality, our worth has nothing to do with any of our human fallibilities. In reality, our worth is absolute. You exist, therefore you are worthy. And this fundamental reality also takes a lot of contemplation. All you need to do to be worthy is exist. Your existence makes you an essential, vital, inseparable part of the oneness of life, the life that can be experienced as a universal consciousness. This is the oneness that is described in the now countless and well-studied near-death experience reports, the breakthrough psychedelic experiences, and the many other mystical experiences described down through the ages. This oneness, this consciousness of life that we are all connected to is what we feel as unconditional love, which is why unconditional love is so hard to find and experience in this world. This oneness with life as a force of ultimate consciousness is the root of acceptance and why it is a key to opening the door to your heart, which is also the door to your awareness, the same door, the same thing. Accepting yourself as you are stands unshakable in this foundational reality. Accepting the reality of your humanness means that when you make a mistake, it does not mean that you have failed and are now, therefore, somehow unworthy. It does not mean that you should be cast out of life in some way, no matter what other confused people may have to say about it. It simply means that you have had an experience of being human and are now given the opportunity to learn something useful from that experience. As human beings, we are meant to be in this world to learn and grow, particularly on the level of consciousness. This is the message that virtually all those who have had a near-death experience of being consciously embraced in universal light, life, love, come back with. This is what transforms their lives. Fortunately, we don't have to literally die to get this message, but the poor old ego does have to let go of its fear-based controlling, which it thinks it needs to do to get love, and wonders why its life is so complicated and filled with suffering. Through the power of self-acceptance, every experience becomes an opportunity to evolve. There is nothing to be ashamed of when it comes to being human. There is nothing to reject about yourself. In reality, as human beings, we are all still children growing up, and we all have a right to still be children growing up. We all have a right to be human. In addition, with the power of self-acceptance, we are less likely to feel like a victim and blame others, because self-rejection is the ultimate cause of our ego defenses. Our confusion about our worth lies in the fact that the mind does not know that it is really just trying to protect itself from its own self-rejection. It does not know because those mindsets, those misbeliefs about ourselves, were usually laid down at an early age when we were so powerless and are so buried in the unconscious. When we were young, we are just indiscriminately soaking up our environmental influences. That is why we are so vulnerable when we are children. This programmed confusion then distorts all that we perceive as we are getting older and more able to choose what we want to experience. Therefore, self-acceptance makes it easier, more comfortable, and manageable to face ourselves, to be self-reflective and self-responsible. Acceptance makes it much easier to own our mistakes because we are learning to no longer condemn ourselves or others for our mistakes. When we accept ourselves as we are, it makes it possible and manageable to face ourselves because acceptance provides an antidote to self-rejection and the suffocating false pride that tries to compensate for self-rejection. When doing our best to accept ourselves as we are, we can soon feel the difference between these two opposing mind states. We can repeatedly experience the sanctuary of self-acceptance compared to the pain of self-rejection. As a result, a whole new state of consciousness that is self-compassionate and responsibly self-loving starts to awaken within us. Now let's look deeper at how self-acceptance works. A key insight here is in the way you learn to make friends with your emotions. Here we discover another important insight. Your emotions, no matter how painful they may be, are your friends, because they are informing yourself as conscious awareness of where your mind is confused and wounded. Not only that, you are now a representative of the very unconditional love that you have always needed through your life. You have literally become your own forever sanctuary and parent. This is the heart of the practice of mindfulness, which I will speak more about in future podcasts. And I have also spoken about mindfulness extensively in my previous Real Healing, Real Awakening podcasts. Therefore, if you want to free up more of your potential, pay attention to your emotional pain from the perspective of self-acceptance. Most of the time, your emotional pain is pointing to where you need to do some renovation work on your mind's conditioning, on your habitual thinking, in other words. Because emotions are the frequency of the thought, emotions point to the thought. The more you stay open and present to the emotion, the more the thoughts that are creating this emotion are revealed. If your thoughts are out of alignment with unconditional love, you will feel emotional pain. It is like our consciousness and our human mind are calibrated to unconditional love, oneness in other words. Sometimes painful emotions are telling you what you need to change in the world around you in order to better take charge of yourself or take care of yourself. Knowing when to do some work on yourself or change something in the world around you requires discernment or clarity. Discernment or clarity requires self-reflection. Most of the time, though, changing your own thinking is what makes the positive difference to your experience in the world. Now let's look at acceptance as a fundamental power of you, as conscious awareness. Acceptance, therefore, is not a shallow surface thing. It is a fundamental power. Acceptance, or accepting yourself as you are, is not self-indulgence either. Self-acceptance is compassionate self-responsibility. You are learning to fill yourself up from the inside without having to take from anybody else. You are learning to build your own solid foundation of self-worth and resilience. Those who grow up with highly balanced and functioning conditioning that enables them to make self-caring and self-empowering choices in their lives seem to have it easy in life. Their positive conditioning enables them to create and attract love, harmony and abundance. They rarely even have to think about self-acceptance because they are actually living it. Think about that. The rest of us are left to grasp the significance of this fundamental law of life through the fog of our confused conditioning and learn step by step how to be the student of acceptance. As the student, we are learning to grasp that acceptance must be unconditional. We have to practice what many would regard as a radical form of self-acceptance. We have to grasp that we need to place this essential self-care practice at the center of our lives, for the rest of our lives, in order to continue to set free our real potential and have the life that we want, because we are the ones who are creating our lives. And after all, those who have that really positive conditioning are already doing that. Therefore, you must literally become the power of acceptance for your benefit and for the benefit of your vulnerable and confused human mind. As the student of acceptance, you are learning to accept yourself as you are and therefore becoming aware of and learning to overcome your sometimes subtle and other times crippling self-rejection. You are learning how to no longer give your power away by being a victim. You are learning that if your life lacks balance, if you are neglecting yourself, if you attract conflict, if you frequently get caught in your pride, you can accept your right to be human and compassionately turn toward your deepest vulnerabilities and see the opportunity to bring your open heart to your confused and wounded human self. You are learning that changing yourself for the better changes your life for the better. It is not what happens to you that causes your suffering. Your suffering is caused by the way you react to the world, by the meanings that you are placing on the experiences, such as that experience means I'm not good enough, or they are saying that I am not good enough. If you truly no longer believe this misbelief, it's not going to hurt you. There is no shame in being caught in your human confusions. Through the power of self-acceptance, there is now the opportunity for self-love and to become more of your ultimate potential. If it is a deep trauma that you are facing, the same applies, but the level of pain and confusion is so intense that you have to face your pain in smaller steps, along with reaching out for help from a skilled therapist greatly helps. As a therapist specializing in trauma, I can assure you that every trauma can be overcome, so long as you have enough understanding of how the mind works and take the right approach that facilitates compassionate, unconditional self-acceptance. You are also learning to accept what life brings you, because everything now is a useful experience that helps you to learn and grow. Every experience will now teach you how to love yourself more. Here we discover another important level of acceptance, accepting life as it is. So you are not just a student of acceptance, you are a student of life, because acceptance is a fundamental principle of life, universal consciousness in other words. Every experience of life is trying to teach you something about yourself. Life is trying to free you from your mind's confusion that causes your suffering. With the power of acceptance, you are now able to sit down in the classroom of life and make the most of the lesson each experience brings you, without being beaten back so much by self-rejection. You will come to realize that life is happening for you, not to you. You also come to realize that you don't have to always get it right. Instead, you just have to have a go and learn from repeated experience. Learning and growing is then inevitable because self-acceptance motivates you to not give up. Why should you give up? Instead of giving in to your blind habit mind and its ego when it beats you up for not measuring up, instead, your mistakes become an opportunity to love yourself more. You also soon discover that you are gaining a thing called wisdom. People will start asking you how you do what you do, and you will be able to tell them, because you will have consciously built that skill into your own mind. You are now becoming the parent to your whole human self, the loving parent of the whole timeline of your human experiences. In other words, all your memories belong to you. They are all within your consciousness. With the power of unconditional self-acceptance, you are becoming a sanctuary for your vulnerable human self whenever painful memories are triggered into your now conscious awareness. You are becoming the unconditional love that you have always been searching for. You are now becoming your own healer. This becomes your foundation of self-esteem, self-worth, and resilience. So awaken to your power of being a student of acceptance, a student of life. So that concludes this episode. And don't forget my book, 5 Steps to Freedom, A Path to Inner Harmony and Personal Growth. And also feel free to contact me by email if you have any comments or questions. be your own forever, loving and compassionate parent, and love will always warm your heart.